Good evening, and welcome again to our online service at Heritage Baptist Church. This is our Wednesday evening Bible study and prayer time, and just hope that you're having a good 1st of April. I know it's April Fool's, and perhaps you have children, such as I do, who've been in the house for a couple of weeks, and took this as an opportunity to play some pranks and be some jokesters. I was getting my coffee this morning, and when I took the first sip, I realized that the sugar that I had put in my coffee probably wasn't sugar. It was a white substance, but had been replaced with salt. And promptly spit out my first big gulp of coffee in the morning, to the delight of at least one of my children. And I have a strong suspicion. I know all of them are involved, but I'm pretty sure the adopted one was the primal player. I do hope you're having a good day. I hope that the Lord's blessing you. I hope that you're looking for opportunities to be an encouragement to others, to continue to pray, and continue to work on memorizing Scripture. We're in 1 Corinthians 13, working on memorizing the entire chapter, all 13 verses, and today we're in verse 4. I'll read beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." In tonight's verse, verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. We see in these first few verses how the Bible talks about charity as the words that we speak and the words that we use in verse 1. In verse 2, charity is the thoughts that we have and the way that we think. And then in verse 3, it is the actions that we take. And all these things, again, must be a part of charity. It must be a part of the love for Christ that we have. And then beginning in verse 4 down through verse 7, the Bible talks about our emotions and connected to charity. And the Bible says that in verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, and charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Reading through verse 4, made me think of two other places in Scripture, the first being in Luke chapter 15. I'll turn there and read. It's the story of the prodigal son, which I'm sure you're familiar with, and if you're not, I'm going to go ahead and read through it. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, 4, charity suffereth long. And the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, beginning in verse 11, says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." When we think about charity suffering long, we see here in the story of the prodigal son where the father suffered through what was a rebellious son, what was a selfish and rebellious son. And yet the father had faith. The father trusted that one day his son would come to his senses. And when the son did come to his senses, the father was there waiting. And it shows that the father never wavered in his love for his son. He was willing to suffer, even being taken advantage of. He was willing to suffer knowing that his son was making poor choices, knowing that those choices would come back to haunt him, and believing that he would have an opportunity again to be a father to his son. And it just shows, in my mind, how charity suffers long and is kind. The other place in Scripture is in Genesis chapter 25, in verses 21 through 34. In Genesis 25, we're introduced to twin boys, Jacob and Esau. In Genesis 25, beginning in verse 21, the Bible says, "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, 'If it be so, why am I thus?' And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, 'Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger.' And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day,' and he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, the Bible says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not." In the story of Jacob and Esau, and of course later on we learn how Jacob, with his mother Rebekah, deceive Isaac into actually taking the birthright from Esau. And so Jacob had a mind of envy. He envied the fact that his brother had been born first. He envied the fact that his brother had the birthright privilege, and he was a deceiver. He tricked his brother into selling his birthright for a bowl of soup, and then he tricked his father really through the same manner in preparing a meal pretending to be Esau. And yet, the Bible says, charity envieth not. In other words, it should have been okay. You know, Jacob should have been fine knowing that even though he was twins, he was born second. He didn't have the birthright, and it wasn't his to take. It wasn't his to deceive. It wasn't his to trick and to connive to get. But he envied. And in his envy, he did things that he shouldn't have done. But the Lord knew all that, too. That's the other thing is, the Lord told Rebekah what was going to happen. The Lord told her exactly what was going to take place. So nothing was taking the Lord by surprise. And what we need to be careful of, though, is that we don't have a heart of envy. We don't, you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, I wish I'd never been born. I wish that God didn't put me on this earth. I wish that, you know, my life was different. And, you know, we're exactly where God wants us. And we don't need to envy what others have, what others do, what others are capable of. What we need to do is we need to learn to have charity in our thoughts, in our lives, in our actions, in our words, in everything about us, in our emotions. And we need to learn that charity suffers long and it envies not. The Bible's very clear. And so when we start to envy, what we need to realize is, hey, why am I being envious? Why am I concerned more about what other people have or what other people are doing or what other people can do versus being concerned with what God wants to do through me and learning to live with a heart and a mind of charity versus a heart and a mind of envy. So just interesting where, you know, in the Bible there's different stories, and maybe you thought of another story that reminds you of how charity suffers long or charity envies not, that's in the Bible. The other thing that came to my mind when reading and studying through this is how a lady who's pregnant and is going to give birth and her charity suffers long, you know, through 9 months of carrying a child, and then through the birthing process, the mother suffers, but she suffers with a heart of charity. The charity suffereth long. You know, I think it's great where we're in a church which sees so many children being brought into the world, and I rejoice with the moms and with the families. But I know that it's a point of suffering. It's not an easy process, childbearing. It's a very painful process. But there's a love there. There's a charity there that a mother has and is willing to suffer so that a child can be brought into this world. And praise God for that. Praise the Lord for each and every life that He brings into this world. And so it's again just a picture in my mind of how charity suffers long. As we continue through verse 4, it says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. And then it says, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. That word vaunteth is an old English word that we don't really hear, probably even use too much. Some would say it's an even archaic term. Really, vaunteth simply means to boast. You know, it's not puffed up. It's not proud. Charity is not boastful in and of itself. In fact, what it means is that it doesn't magnify itself. In other words, it's not saying, you know, I'm better than you. I'm able to love more than you. I can do these things. No, it's not about that. It's just doing what you're capable of doing and then going about seeking to do it again. It doesn't matter what the response is or if people accept the charity that you have to offer or reject the charity that you have to offer or can reciprocate. That's another thing. Charity isn't about reciprocation. It's about not boasting itself, not lifting itself up, but in fact lowering ourselves. And if anything, lifting others up when we love others, when we care about others, our desire is truly to encourage them, to help them, to lift them up, to see them succeed and not worry about ourselves, not worry about, you know, how we're to be taken care of, but knowing that God takes care of us, knowing that His promises are true, that He cares about the sparrows of the field and the sparrows in the air and the lilies of the field, and that He cares about us, and He has our best interests at heart. And so, having Christ-like love for others means humbling ourselves before the Lord and being willing to lift others up, not being boastful, not being puffed up, not being proud. And again, that's what that word means, vaunteth. Vaunteth not itself. To vaunt simply means to boast. So as we, again, try to memorize the Word of God, this is a fairly short verse, fairly simple verse, but a lot of a lot of things to contemplate. Charity suffereth long, it is kind, is charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. And as you think about this verse, as you meditate on it, think about how you may be asked to suffer for the sake of Christ's love, for the sake of drawing others to Christ and to be kind. Think of ways that maybe you're envious and you know God doesn't want you to be. Ask the Lord to help you in those areas. Think of ways that charity could present itself in a boastful or proud way, and seek not to allow that to take place in your heart and in your life. Charity suffereth long, it is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. That's our memory verse for this week, and I pray that you continue to work to memorize Scripture and allow the Lord to use this in your heart and in your life. We're going to go on to the prayer portion of our evening. Again, if you don't have one of these prayer sheets and you'd like one, please let us know. Get in touch with me through the channels of the church here. If you have my cell phone number or email, or Brother Bob or Jamie or any of the members of the church here, let us know, and we'll be happy to get you one of these prayer sheets. I don't want to read through the entire list this evening, but I do have some things to add for us tonight. I've talked with several members of the church. Obviously, we're all experiencing many of the same things with this coronavirus going on, needing to isolate and social distance from one another. If you do, I will say this again, if you do have certain needs that we can be of service and of help to you with as far as groceries or different things, please let us know. Again, we want to be a help to you in any way that we can. But also some other things to consider. Brother Gary Huey has a work situation that he's asked prayer for, just wisdom and discernment, and the Lord's leading there. For traveling mercies, there are folks who are going to be traveling throughout the next couple of weeks, and so just ask that the Lord would watch over them, keep them safe, allow them to get accomplished those things that they need to and have a safe return. Also, for the Nolan family, our missionaries to Arctic Canada, currently they're in Columbia, Missouri, and they do have a place to stay, but obviously their meetings that they had lined up have been affected in the sense where they're not traveling, first of all, and then they're not able to be in churches because, like our church, most services have gone to online where they're not meeting face-to-face. So just pray that the Nolans can stay encouraged. Right now they're taken care of. Their needs are not great at this point. They asked prayer for their daughter also, who is graduating this year. There's some credits that she needs where she was supposed to be in a classroom teaching, but again, even schools have changed, but they're allowing her to continue through some different online course things that she needs to finish up, but they're confident that she'll be able to do that and finish graduating this year and then be able to travel back to Canada with them. That's the plan. Although, as you may or may not know, Canada itself is restricting access into the country. And so, though Brother Larry said he feels confident that he probably could get across the border, okay, each province has a two-week quarantine. He said if they were to leave today, basically, to try and get back home, it would take them over 8 weeks, just because each province that they crossed into, they'd have to be on a two-week isolation period before they could continue to travel. So lots of challenges and different things going on. But continue to keep the Nolans in prayer, all of our missionaries. And again, if you want to touch base with them, let us know. We can get you their contact information. Their contact information is also here at the church. There's prayer cards. And just continue to be in prayer for them. Also, want to lift up Collins and Arlene Johnson, elderly couple in the nursing home or the assisted living facility at Somerset here in Minot. Just continue to pray for them that they'd be able to stay encouraged. Collins' health is good. He's not been able to get out for meals Mrs. Arlene's been bringing meals from the cafeteria up to him, but he's doing okay. But he has gotten a little bit weaker, and hasn't been able to move around as much. Miss Arlene was telling me that some of the nursing homes aren't even allowing folks to meet together in the cafeterias, but their facility is at this point. But obviously, outside visitors are being restricted, and they miss the opportunity to see their son from Kenmare, who would come and visit. So just pray for him. Pray for all those that are in nursing homes and the healthcare workers and professionals as well, as they're treating them and doing the best that they can. Pray for our farmers, our cattlemen, all the food supply, the trucks. You know, there's so much that's affected by all of this. And again, we have the power of prayer, so we shouldn't negate that. And we should just ask the Lord to continue to watch over these individuals, that he would bless them with health and strength, and continue to allow things to move forward and for us to get back to normal as soon as possible. I do appreciate your prayers as well. I've been contacted by a few folks, and we're doing fine. Obviously, as I mentioned at the beginning, the boys are doing well, if they don't drive mom and dad crazy. But we are doing all right, and thank the Lord for his blessings in our lives as well. And again, we want to be an encouragement and a blessing to you. If there's something that you need, something that we can do to be of help, certainly don't hesitate to ask and let us know. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. So be praying for the things that the Lord puts on your heart as we pray for these things on the prayer list and that I've mentioned this evening. Father, we do praise you and thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the love of Christ. Lord, your word says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And we thank you that Christ laid down his life for our sin. Lord, that we could love others with a Christ-like love. And Father, though we're in a time of uncertainty and there's so much anxiety in the world, Lord, we can continue to trust in you. We can have faith and strength. And Lord, I pray that you would guide us to be a blessing and encouragement to others, to reach out to try to minister and seek opportunities, Lord, to display the love of Christ, to be a testimony and a witness for you. Lord, I thank you for the church families here at Heritage. I thank you for each and every individual. Lord, I thank you for the newborns that we have recently. I thank you for those that are expecting. Pray that you would watch over and just help mom and baby in the delivery. Lord, I pray that you'd be with Brother Gary Huey, that you'd be with his work situation. You'd provide wisdom and discernment for him. We pray for those that'll be traveling. God, we ask that you would just watch over them to help them to be safe in their travels, to stay healthy, to get their tasks fulfilled and be able to return home safely. We pray for the Nolans. God, we ask you continue to sustain them, hold them up, as well as all of our missionaries, Lord, that you would provide and meet the needs. And again, you would use us to encourage them in any way that we can. Lord, we thank you for the praise of Ms. Sharon Chapler's MRI going well, and just ask that you would continue to help us not to take for granted the health that we have, to praise you and thank you for each and every day that you give to us. Lord, we lift up Collins and Arlene Johnson, as well as others that are in nursing homes and different care facilities. Lord, we pray for the healthcare workers. We pray that you'd watch over and strengthen our nurses and doctors and physicians that are treating all these individuals, Lord. And pray for our farmers, our cattlemen, our truck drivers. So many different people are involved in so many different aspects, Lord, of meeting crucial needs of individuals here in our country and here in our church. Lord, help us again to recognize where we've taken for granted the many blessings that we have, not just as believers, but as Americans, Lord, as those that are free. Lord, help those that are in other countries as well, our military here at home and around the world. Father, we pray you'd put a hedge of protection about them, that you'd bless their families and be with the families that are here. Lord, I think of those that are stationed in Guam who've not been able to come home, and their families that are here, and the stress that that's put on a lot of different families. Lord, I pray that you would just minister to them and help us again to seek ways that we can be an encouragement and a help and minister in areas where maybe we've not thought of before. And guide us, direct us, give us wisdom. Lord, give our government leaders and our president wisdom as well. Help them to make decisions that are best for our country moving forward, that we would, as a nation, Lord, heal, that we would set an example, and that we would get through this, Lord, and get back to a sense of normalcy. But in the meantime, Lord, to use it as an opportunity to reflect, to look at our own lives, to examine our own hearts, Lord, in ways that we can display the love of Christ in a more meaningful, in a more powerful way. And we'll give you the praise and thanks for all that you do, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.